Finish your story, Mark. What comes next? Why are you leaving us hanging?
Hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Keith Fry and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Easter Sunday, April 1st, 2018. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is a Reconciling in Christ congregation. We welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. Come join us Sundays at the corner of Sherman and Lake in Evanston. And now, here's Pastor Keith Fry.
And grace and peace to you from God, who is the author of our story, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen indeed. Alleluia. I loved my father very dearly. One of the Easter lilies here today is in his memory. The first Easter that I have had to say that, as he died in the Lord this past year. He was a kind and compassionate man, gently spoken, a terrific preacher, and a wonderful pastor. But he had a quirk. He did not finish his stories. In conversation after conversation throughout his life, he had the habit of beginning a story and then just, he would look off into the distance or down at the floor, and that was it. You were left hanging. And the whole family would yell almost in chorus, "Daddy, finish your story." And sometimes he did, and sometimes he didn't. And sometimes he would just start all over again, as though he hadn't told you that part before. Now, you have to know, my dad was, in fact, quite a skilled storyteller, and he had a phenomenal memory for people and events. And he was a preacher for 60 years, and a storyteller in the pulpit who always engaged his hearers, and he crafted sermons that brought scripture and everyday life together, and they always went somewhere. So it's not that he couldn't tell a story, but for some reason in everyday conversation, he would just stop. I've never really figured out the reasons for it. He would probably insist that it was that the rest of us were yammering away so loudly and constantly that he couldn't finish it. And in our talkative family, I have to admit that that was often the case. But trust me, he did it in quiet situations also. Recently had another experience with unfinished stories. On Netflix, we had begun watching a BBC series, a detective show that told a continuous story from episode to episode, and I had binge-watched much of it. I was down to the last three or four episodes, and I sat down one evening determined to plow through the remainder, and much to my surprise, the series was no longer listed in my queue. I scrolled through all 210 selections, and then again, and it wasn't there. I went to the search feature, nothing, it was gone. And later that week, I learned that the BBC and Netflix had failed to reach an agreement on the licensing, and so it had been pulled. I couldn't see the ending. Don't you hate that feeling? Getting caught up in a story and then not being told the ending? Today's resurrection story from the Gospel of Mark is just like that. The women go to the tomb, find it empty, encounter a young man dressed in white, and they're alarmed. And like an administrative assistant explaining to someone who has shown up in the office looking for the boss, The young man gives them the message that they've just missed him, but that he's left a message for them. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. You're in the right place. He's been raised. He's not here. But he did leave a message for you. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there just as he told you. And so they went out and they ran from the tomb, for terror and amazement, or as the original Greek says, trauma and ecstasy had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Bam. Period. Full stop. See, that's not where I or the official committee that selects the readings we hear each week decided to cut the story off. The fact is, that is where the oldest copies of the Gospel of Mark end. That's the ending of the whole book. No Mary Magdalene mistaking Jesus for the gardener. No Jesus at all. No foot race between Peter and John to see who could get to the tomb first. No dinner in Emmaus. No appearances in locked rooms. No doubting Thomas. No breakfast on the beach. We have to go to the other Gospels to get those accounts. But consistently, in the most ancient versions of the Gospel of Mark, this is where the story ends, with women fleeing in trauma and ecstasy and saying nothing to anyone. Finish your story, Mark. What comes next? Why are you leaving us hanging? The ending is so abrupt and uncomfortable that 100 years later, people started adding on additional endings of their own. Endings that brought in the traditions that the other Gospels had included. Those appearances to Mary Magdalene, to the two on the road to Emmaus, to the 11 in the locked room. And if you look in your Bible, the New Revised Standard Version puts little brackets around the rest of the Gospel of Mark. In fact, two or three more chunks, to show that they were added later, because people weren't satisfied with the ending. But Mark, in the original, simply stops, literally in the middle of a sentence. In Greek, his sentence ends with a preposition, as though the writer is about to launch into something else. So why would he do that? Once, when I was conducting a Bible study on Mark's gospel, one of the elder women who was there made a profound comment. She said, "You know, this is just like one of those mystery evenings that my seniors group go to. It's like the ending is up to the audience." And you know what? I think that's spot on. As Barbara Lundblad puts it, Mark's story invites us to stand where those first trembling witnesses stood. Those three women didn't see Jesus. Neither do we. They didn't hear Jesus call their names. Neither have we. They weren't invited to touch his wounded hands. We haven't touched Jesus' hands either. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome are our silent sisters. The narrative is left for us, the readers, to complete. And as uncomfortable as that is, I think that's actually very, very good news for us. I can identify with those women. I can identify with their confusion, and yes, their fear, their trauma. Even though they've heard the promises from Jesus over and over again that he will die, but yes, that he will then be raised from the dead, They've come to the tomb that morning with burial spices, because what he said to them hasn't made any sense at all. And frankly, it defies all logic. And while they've come prepared with what they need to properly prepare Jesus' body for burial, they're halfway to the tomb before they even begin to wonder how they're going to manage to get the stone away from the entrance. Whoops. They don't have a plan. They just know that they're supposed to do something important. And there's this bumbling quality to their efforts to honor their dead friend that I can identify with. And then after the young man gives them the message, they fail to do the one task they've been given to do. Go and tell the others. And that is the picture of the disciples all the way through the Gospel of Mark. The followers of Jesus are always people who try to understand, but just don't get it. People who want to follow, but who are afraid to step out. People who want to do the right thing, but fail to do so. People who are told to speak, but in their fear and confusion remain silent. People like me. And the good news, the great news of this story is that Jesus simply refuses to give up on them. Even Peter, the one who has failed in the most spectacular way, only 3 days earlier. The one who has denied even knowing the teacher whom he professed to love so much is mentioned by name in the young man's instructions. Jesus wants especially to make sure that Peter and we know that our failure to be faithful disciples, even when we crash and burn, is not the end of the story. Not one of the disciples gets it. Even when Jesus is explaining it to them, not one. But nonetheless, Jesus is still waiting for us. He's risen from the dead, and there is work to be done. And even though his followers, his friends, still do not fully get it, that simply doesn't matter to him. The risen one is right back out there in the world, waiting for us to catch up with him. He's back in Galilee, where he spent his time healing the sick, feeding the hungry, speaking good news about this crazy upside-down reign of God that's breaking in on us. He's doing the work he was sent to do, and he's waiting for you and me to join in, even though we may not have any clue of where to go or what we're supposed to do. We really want simple endings, don't we? We prefer the comfortable quality of a story that gives us every detail, a story that has a clear beginning and a clear ending. And that's the way we want our resurrection story, too. If we tie up all the loose ends, if we think that the story has ended, then we can put the whole thing away for another year and not have to deal with it in our daily lives. There's no urgency for us if we think the story has already been told. But if the story hasn't ended yet, if the story involves you and me as crucial characters, if the next episode involves us going out to find the risen Christ, wherever he is now at work in the world, and joining with him in acts of healing and reconciliation, then this resurrection thing is not entirely about what happened then. It's not just some historic event that we commemorate, but it is instead an active and living experience that invites you and me into the telling of the story right now. We will find the resurrected Christ not at the tomb, but alive and active in the world, back out there where we live, where our failure to understand and our fears and our inability to see our own trauma and our own ecstasy, none of that ends the story. You know, the writer of the Gospel of Mark had another quirk. The end of the Gospel ends almost mid-sentence, as I said, but the writer wasn't much better with beginnings either, because the Gospel starts mid-sentence also. The very first words are the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not really a sentence. There's no verb. So when the Gospel ends as it does, the whole story becomes the beginning. The whole story is just the first episode. Jesus' death is not the end. Jesus lives again, and so do we. And just as Christ's story doesn't end with his death, our story isn't finished yet either. The story's just beginning. So, sisters and brothers, let's go catch up with Jesus out there living and breathing in a world that needs healing. So go tell the good news. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. And again, we welcome you to come join us for our Sunday service each week at 10:30. The Emmanuel Lutheran Church is located at the southeast corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Thanks for listening.